I'm going to wait for him to finish because I'm really interested in what he's saying.
Yeah.
Workers of the World Unite is such an important performative statement. But after 1852, Marx never uses the word proletariat.
I guess there are, but historically, okay. This is...
Not historically,
but...
Should we just try and say something about what each group discussed?
Yeah. Can I just finish?
Yeah, we're listening there.
The answering very quietly. So it just means that after state seized the property, then after collapse of the Soviet Union, the very expected move was back to the privatization, not to the further socialization. And what is socialization beyond the state form, beyond the state property, still a question, which I think is interesting to consider. Yeah, thank you.
Sounds like we had quite different discussions, but really, maybe really based on our different disciplinary bases, I don't know. We'd need to think about it. So over here, I think we really try to get at this question about working. We talked a bit about the project, the idea of the kind of projectification of all work, and that thing that we say to each other when we meet each other in the street, like, not how are you, but what are you working on? And what it might mean to not be working on something. And we were thinking about working as something that has to do with resistance against a force, so something that it doesn't flow. There was a really interesting question about whether care flows. I was trying to think about care as actually working. That is something that hits up against obstacles all the time, that has nothing really to do with flowing. So we then moved on to quite an interesting discussion then about, in a way, questions of attachment, I suppose. We went to Lauren Ballant's work for a bit and were thinking about that idea about what it is within projects of survival that may still be retained as a form of attachment to something. So we were still trying to get at whether there is an element that neither lies outside or inside, or is not open to commodification, but whatever, nevertheless, we remain attached to at least an idea of some element, of something that can sustain us beyond what the project of survival, which is actually what sustains us. So is that an okay summary? Then at the very end, we were talking about social media, actually, and whether there are forms of our use of social media that has that kind of element, whether that constitutes working or whether that constitutes work for capital, whether there's a distinction there.
Well, I can't summarize our trajectory because we went to many places and Lauren Ballant was one of them. But I think where we were ending up at some point was talking about the violence of abstraction as being at the heart of the violence of commodification. And so what I wanted to think back with is, how do we think collectivity in non-abstracted terms, right? Very nice. In other words, how does one then think, if one is thinking of quote-unquote communisms to come, whatever they might be, right? How might one think of modes of trans-individual relationality across positions of radical structural and situational difference. So what I would have wanted to say in response to whose question about abstraction is, as a tangible political question, how do we think the therapeutically saturated American patient consumer of drugs alongside a third world female experimental subject as in terms of trans-individuated relationships of solidarity that acknowledge difference, but that can still imagine the forging of some kind of non-abstracted collectivity.
Yeah, which comes to the question of the indifference of labor and this question of mattering. That's really important to me, what you just said. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, with regards to our gathering here, actually, thanks, guys, for staying in this part. I guess it's interesting because it says something about my presentation, that throughout this 20 minutes we had. I was trying to clarify who is Pashukan is, how low and form of value can be considered together, then what was, why the socialisms and the experiences of socialisms are kind of constantly excluded from our modality of critique when we're critiquing capitalism or when we're attempting to understand inside, outside, or structural logic of capital. So we exclude the 20th century experiences of socialisms. Mm. So for me, it's a kind of symptomatic, but I would like to ask again, Kaushik, would you consider that reflection on that experience as not something outside, but something that actually belongs to the history of resistance, mm-hmm. to our history as such, and something which attempted to get out of, you know, capitalism as a mode of production, yeah. with all the failures and experiments and all of that. So would you consider that returning to these experiences, historical experience of socialisms, as a kind of utopian escapism from the question of capitalism and what we have, you know, now as a dominant mode of production, because I think it's actually quite helpful to question why we isolate, why we don't want to engage with this experience. Mm-hmm. Mm. It could be answered very briefly in two steps. First, because epistemologically it's weird, we have to read strange things, or we don't know what that is. Or secondly, just narrated or had been narrated from the point of view of like Cold War narratives, which doesn't give you anything interesting to consider about these experiences, mm-hmm. so thereby excluded. Mm-hmm. Or would you say it's just a form of escapism which isolates us from? But then if that the case, perpetual criticism of capitalism and knowledge how it's ugly and disgusting and all the workings of capitalism, where mm-hmm. does it lead us? Mm-hmm. If we again and again, you know, criticizing, using Marx, using Capital, the book, in order to clarify certain changes. But
I don't think this is escapism. I think that the question is now, you know, what kinds of bodily figures become the basis for imagining collectivities under contemporary conditions, right? And so one of the many trajectories that our conversation took was that we ended up spending about 5 minutes talking about the migrant. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if the figure of the worker was a central organizing principle for a certain 20th century set of socialisms, it is inconceivable to think about what a post-capitalist future might be without thinking, for example, of the figure of the migrant. Yeah. And one of the things that this reminds me is that one of the very important things, tangible things, about 20th century socialisms was that it was internationalist. Mm-hmm. And that internationalism has been appropriated by a kind of neoliberalized idea of globalization and is now being rejected, of course, by all kinds of quote-unquote working class antagonisms that are xenophobic, mm-hmm. and that target the migrant rather than targeting capital, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that the history of 20th century socialism is a very important non-utopian history, but it perhaps cannot afford to be replayed through the same figures mm-hmm. around which collectivity was imagined. And here, it seems like asking the question of the place of the migrant in relation to post-capitalist futures to come is a vital one to ask.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to stop.
Mm. Oh, so
to
I
to stop working.
Well, thank you both and all
thank
of you.
Both. Yes.
To that challenge.